Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, July 4th, and happy 4th of July. Just a great country we have here, very proud to be an American, as always, of course. Taping this is your boy Matt Shook, host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in the Motor City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, Pistons follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Taping this kind of early afternoon on Tuesday, just so you are aware of the context that we are putting the episode out today. We're going to be running down some more thoughts about the Warriors and Boogie Cousins, kind of annoyed with some of the Twitter reaction out there. Also talking today about Summer League. We're going to be running down the schedule for the Pistons, who start action on Friday night, who's playing for the Pistons, why you should care, what you should be looking for, all those good things. And also Pistons GT team in action this weekend. We're going to tell you about that as well. But like I said, taping this early Tuesday afternoon. So if any free agent signings that happen later Tuesday, we won't be covering those today. I'll jump on and add something if something huge happens, if need be. But we'll cover most of the big developments either later in the week or on Monday. We got the middle of the week holiday here today, 4th of July. It's probably messed with your life in some way, hopefully in a good way, missing maybe a little bit more work than usual. But this could be the final episode of the week. I'm heading up north after going to Lansing tonight for at least a couple days. Not really quite sure on the schedule. So planning on this being the last episode for the week for now, but reserving the right to maybe jump on and do a Friday episode if something happens or it works out for what I've got up in the next few days. But I promise we'll be back Monday with all sorts of Summer League stuff to break down with the Pistons. Like I said, heading to Lansing area tonight for the Moneyball Pro-Am Summer League basketball tournament. That does the Summer League games that Desmond Ferguson puts on, the former UAD player that all the Michigan State players play in. We're going to see how Thomas Kithier is doing if he's there. Foster Lawyer from Clarkston as well. The other MSU freshman, I believe Kay Felder, is up there as well. So we'll try to catch up with him. But I wanted to talk some more about Boogie to the Warriors, DeMarcus Cousins signing the one-year, $5 million deal to join the two-time defending NBA champions, the team that's dominated the league over the past 4 years. I'm just bummed out about this, and there's a couple narratives out there on Twitter. Richard Deitch of Sports Illustrated had the false analogy that some people, including him, love to throw out there, that sports media people complaining about building super teams while they would take money or do take money wherever it's offered in their sports media jobs. First off, it's a little bit tone deaf given the fact that many of us, including myself, sports media people, we don't get money offered by hardly anyone anywhere. But obviously he's talking to the rich talking heads on TV or whatever who are complaining about Boogie Cousins and the Warriors. But in what universe is the competitive balance of the NBA being ruined by one team have anything to do with the media landscape? If everyone joins ESPN or The Athletic, which he writes for, by the way, doesn't that just open more jobs for others to come in to the other outlets that those people left? I mean, it's a competitive team of 30 teams in one league. You get one champion. Comparing that to a free market where there seems to be enough customers to go around, and if there's more high-paying jobs somewhere, then those other jobs get left behind and some other people fill it, and it's a free market, and all those entities can survive and thrive if they do their jobs. And it's not similar to me, not really at all, actually. And my guy Brew on Twitter, a listener and writer for Piston Powered as well, he said he enjoyed the playoffs this year more than he has in a decade, and we went back and forth on Twitter a little bit, all in good fun, and certainly a guy whose opinion I value. I would say that his enjoyment of the playoffs in the past decade, it has something to do with his enjoyment of the league, and that's fine, and I'm guessing he's really into basketball now and maybe more so than he was a couple years back, and that's great. And I'm still going to watch the league, still going to do the podcast, still going to enjoy the NBA, but I just, as you look at this, the last year's playoffs, I would agree that 2017, when Cleveland was better than they were this year and the Warriors were even better than they were this year, that was probably the worst playoffs of the past several years to me, just because the inevitability of those two teams meeting in the finals and then the Warriors winning in five like they did. This year, at least, the Warriors were kind of disinterested throughout the regular season and really weren't at top form, and they had the Andre Iguodala injury, weren't at top form in the playoffs. So we didn't even get to enjoy one of the all-time great teams. It was just kind of a blah Warriors team that cruised to the NBA championship. I know they were taken to seven by the Houston Rockets, and that was like the one interesting good part of the playoffs, despite the fact that the Western Conference Finals was a bunch of blowouts until Game 5, when the Rockets got a nice win and seemed to take control of the series, until the bummer of the Chris Paul injury kind of ended that and really didn't put much of a doubt into Game 6 and 7 as the Warriors started slow, as they always do. Lackluster team that actually ended up winning the title very easily, which tells you all you need to know about the competitive balance of the league is that a team wasn't really at their best, but certainly wasn't any doubt that they were the best team in the league. And then they cruised in Game 6 and 7 despite falling behind early. And made it happen. So, I don't know. If you guys love that, if that's what you want to see out of your culmination of the NBA season, that's just not me. Shea Serrano of The Ringer had a tweet. If you're only watching the NBA for who wins the championship, you're missing 90% of the good stuff. And I never said I'm not enjoying it or not watching. I'm just saying that 10% that you mentioned, if that's what the metric is as far as championship finals and all that stuff, if that's just 10%, to me it's probably more. But the part where we don't know who's going to win and the finals should be fun and we get more than one or two interesting games involving the presumed favorites, the team that would become champions in the postseason, I think that part could be a lot better. That's just me. And I know Boogie is coming off the Achilles injury. He might not be great this year. Probably won't play until December or January. I have a pretty good feeling that he'll fit the role of fifth option, center who can stretch the floor. I think he'll handle that role quite well, despite the fact that he's coming off of the Achilles. Thank you. I don't think that he'll be at his best as he was these past couple years athletically, certainly, but he will fill that role just fine. Thank you very much. And if he doesn't, if he sucks, guess what? They're still probably going to win the title. It's nice. You can just sign an all-star, and if it doesn't work out, you're still by far the favorites and the team that's probably going to stand alone at the end. And the Rockets, I don't think they're going to be any better. Chris Paul had another year to him. Trevor Ariza, not an all-star or anything like that, but a fairly important part of what they did as a team. Not replaced quite yet, so I don't think the Rockets are going to be any better. Is it the 100% that the Warriors are going to win the title next year? No, it's not. But I think it's a very high number, something closer to 100 than 50%. They've been the best team over the last 4 years, without a doubt, including the season that they didn't win in 2016. Every one of those seasons, they were the best team. And then after 73 wins, they just added a fifth All-Star in their prime 2 years later. There are questions with him. He probably won't be at an All-Star level, certainly at first, maybe not until the playoffs when they steamroll everyone and he's back to looking, healthier and in better shape than he will be probably right after he gets healthy from the injury. But they're probably going to still win it regardless, even if he never plays a game in a Warriors uniform. And I don't see how you can argue that it's more fun that way. And then a friend of the show, Joe Truck, he was incredulous on Twitter. He said, if I see one more person complain about super teams, I'm going to lose my mind. And I don't know. Saying how the NBA has always been dominated by super teams. And yes, certain teams have dominated certain eras, but because they had the superstars of those eras. Magic and Bird dominated the 80s, so the Celtics and the Lakers were pretty much always in the finals in the 80s. But that's one of the keys there, first of all, was the Celtics and the Lakers, two teams that were equal. Also, those teams had one superstar, another all-star, maybe two on certain seasons, and then role pieces that fit in around those guys. They were great teams, but they weren't stacked. And those teams were challenged almost every season by legitimate contenders before meeting each other in the finals. The Warriors, they have five all-stars in their primes. That's different. That's totally different. They won an NBA record 73 games 3 seasons ago, then added the second best player in the league, and now 2 seasons later they add the most skilled big man in the league, an all-star in his prime. Those guys that won 73, they're all still there. They added those two guys to that team. Except for, Kevin freaking Durant over Harry Barnes. That upgrade there is the only thing that's really, different in a big way. Toss in Boogie 2 years later after winning two titles. It's not the same as Magic and Worthy and a 40-year-old Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Not the same as Bird and McHale and an old Dennis Johnson and old Robert Parrish. Guys that on any other team are certainly unspectacular. The fifth best player on Golden State. All those guys are top 20 talents on Golden State, all five of them. Later, and he made the argument, Joe Truck on Twitter made the argument that Eastern Conference All-Stars would probably beat the Warriors. So we're okay. We got enough competitive balance because the best players from a compilation of half the league could probably beat the Warriors. So we're just fine. I don't get quite what the point of that argument is. Anyway, I don't think that they should change the rules. I don't think Adam Silver should block this. Boogie certainly has the right to do whatever he wants, but I'm not going to sit here and be like, this is so great. This will be so much fun. And some of you guys, I think, just love the NBA so much that you really can't criticize anything about it. And that's great. That's nice to be positive and so positive about something like you guys are. But that's just not me. And really, how can you root for a mid-market team like Detroit that's been struggling for a decade and not hate this? You see what the Pistons had to do, what they had to give up to get a player who's basically on the same playing as Boogie right now, a former superstar with big injury questions. They had to mortgage the whole next 4 years, and it still might not work. I mean, most around the NBA would say it's probably not going to work. The Warriors hand out the mid-level exception to an all-star, and it's cake. Who cares? They're probably going to win it anyways, even if they don't get anything out of it. It's not good for basketball. It's good for the Warriors. It's good for you guys who like to smile and laugh about everything when those of us who are critical sometimes say some negative things about the league. But I don't think it's good for fans. Except for those of you who love watching series sweeps and playoff blowouts, but I'm bored with it in come postseason, and I'm not looking forward to next year's playoffs already. I can't believe that not almost everyone outside of Warriors fans, who even they might even be a little bit embarrassed by the riches these days, that they don't completely agree with what I'm talking about here. But on to happier times. What Pistons fans can get excited about is the Summer League coming up on Friday in Las Vegas. We're going to be talking about the team that they're going to roll out there and what Pistons fans should be looking for in Sin City. But if your company wants to reach men between the ages of 18 and 44, you should be sponsoring Locked On Pistons. We are listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if that demo sounds good to you, this is your spot. Plus, we've got reasonable rates. So email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, we're going to be telling you about the weekend ahead for the Pistons GT team, but it is now NBA Summer League time. It got started actually on Monday night in Sacramento. Trae Young looked bad. Jaren Jackson Jr. looked really good out of Michigan State. The tired joke is how a guy, you know, looks great in Summer League, so they're going to be great for the rest of their career. A guy looks bad, so he's definitely a bust. Making fun of that, those kind of jokes are kind of making fun of the snap judgments that you make from Summer League. I don't really think anyone actually makes those judgments anymore. I think we might see the makings of a guy who competes well at an NBA level in Summer League, like Donovan Mitchell was kind of a revelation at Summer League last year, and that continued into the season, obviously. So we can possibly glean some things like that. But don't make that old bit joke of guy has a bad shooting night, then you sarcastically joke that his career is over. You can be better than that. But anyway, for the Pistons, and I hate, maybe I'm too negative lately. Maybe that's becoming a bit of an issue here on the podcast. But for the Pistons and Summer League, the schedule starts on Friday, 7 p.m. against Milwaukee on NBA TV. The schedule will continue on Saturday, 9 o'clock against the Memphis Grizzlies, also on NBA TV. Pistons have an off day on Sunday in Vegas. And then Monday, 3 o'clock Eastern against the New Orleans Pelicans on ESPNU. So then Wednesday, the tournament play starts, the postseason of Summer League. The Pistons will have two more games guaranteed regardless of how everything goes. Could be some consolation games if they don't get the wins there. The big names for the Pistons in Las Vegas, the guys who are probably making the 15-man roster, are Henry Ellenson and the draft picks Bruce Brown and Kyrie Thomas of the second round. Luke Kennard suffered a knee strain during Summer League practice. It was announced on Tuesday, and he will not be going to play. So go ahead and cancel your Summer League championship parade there, possibly for the Pistons. And that's kind of a bummer because Luke was going to get some looks at point guard, which would have been beneficial for his development. But other than those point guard looks, Luke, hopefully, you know, you kind of feel like he's a little bit above Summer League, though. So really, in the huge grand scheme of things, no real bummer there. Ellenson going into his third year in the league and third year in the Summer League as well. Still the youngest player on the Pistons roster, and he's really looking at being a first ballot Summer League Hall of Famer someday. Ellenson is now 21 years old. He'll be 22 on my birthday. We share a birthday, actually, in January. Bruce Brown is 5 months older than Henry Ellenson. Kyrie Thomas is 8 months older than Henry Ellenson, despite being a rookie. And Luke Kennard is actually 6 months older than Henry Ellenson, despite being 1 year behind him in NBA lingo. But Bruce Brown, maybe we'll see him getting a chance at running point guard without Luke Kennard out there. Keenan Evans of Texas Tech, who's on the two-way deal with the Pistons and the Grand Rapids Drive, he is not listed on the Summer League roster for the Pistons. I don't quite know what that's all about, and no one has passed along why, but I guess it's still possible that he could end up filling a void in the Summer League. The Pistons did announce that Max Hooper is joining the Summer League roster in addition to what was already announced. He played at Oakland University a couple years back. Also on the roster is Speedy Smith, who played point guard for Grand Rapids last year in backup of Kay Felder. He'll get a lot of the reps there, you would imagine, in Summer League. But kind of a blow for Detroit not to get Luke Kennard, and especially if Speedy Smith's not going to be available, because then you're essentially looking at a point guard position where you're not getting reps for guys that you need. Unless, like I said, Bruce Brown, maybe he gets some of the looks there. Or Reggie Hearn on the wing. He's one of the two-way guys from last year with Grand Rapids. He's out of Northwestern. He's on the roster. So we'll see maybe what Detroit does with the other two-way slot if they bring Reggie Hearn back for the other one. There could be some maneuvering around training camp there too with regards to other teams and final cuts, etc. there. So, you know, not like there's a forthcoming announcement about the other two-way spot. Could be right up until the season starts that we find out about that. Some of the old Grand Rapids guys. Now, G Leaguers, they aren't really the property of the NBA team. They're a free agent pool, basically, outside of the two-way guys. The two-way guys are your guys. They're part of your NBA family. But you'd like to see a system where there's the more than just the two-way guys. And then, you know, after that, that maybe the G League guys are more tied to the NBA franchise, maybe down the line. Maybe that means you're just adding another two-way slot or two two-way slots to each team or something like that. Be nice to see some continuity throughout the organization year to year. Maybe move towards more of a minor league system like the NHL and the Major League Baseball have. And I know you don't want to limit guys' abilities to compete for whatever limited roster slots that are out there throughout the entire NBA landscape, but it would be nice to follow some of these same guys year to year in Grand Rapids. And hopefully by the end of the day, a few of them end back there when all is said and done. Some of the old Drive guys, Derek Willis out of Kentucky, he's playing Summer League this year in New Orleans. KJ McDaniels, the former Philadelphia 76er, he was in Grand Rapids last year. He's competing for Portland in the Summer League this year. And Landry Noko, the Defensive Player of the Year in the G League last year, standout for the Grand Rapids Drive, he is with the Miami Heat in Summer League this year, actually played last night in Sacramento as well. He might get a shot with an NBA team. An interesting one to keep an eye on, and too bad about that for the Pistons that they weren't able to keep him as close to the NBA team as possible. But up next, we're going to be talking about what the Pistons GT team in the NBA 2K League is up to this weekend. Well, the Chicago Sun-Times and Joe Cowley reporting that Jimmy Butler is all but fed up with his nonchalant teammates with the Minnesota Timberwolves, specifically Karl-Anthony Towns. Butler has no plans to sign an extension this summer and could be looking to team up with Kyrie Irving somewhere next year, possibly in the Eastern Conference, possibly joining up to form another super team. It just never ends, does it? The NBA drama continues as the free agency period continues here in 2018. We're already looking ahead to free agency 2019. What a wild ride we have in this league. But speaking of the NBA 2K League, Pistons GT team back in action this weekend, playing Friday night, 6 o'clock, against the Kingsguard Gaming. The Pistons GT team is 5-3 in sixth place alone on the 17-team league. Kingsguard is 3-5. You can catch that game live, 6 o'clock Eastern, on Twitch. The Pistons GT team coming off of the 75-65 win last week against the Raptors Uprising team. So a nice bounce back there after a couple losses the previous weekend. But we will catch up with those guys in the coming weeks here. But give us a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, and also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. You can find us there too. Give us a like on the Facebook page at Locked On Pistons-MattSchoch, and give us a rating and review on iTunes. Everyone, enjoy the holidays, the 4th of July celebrations, the awkward Wednesday midweek holiday. enjoy the long weekend as well. Like I said, no plans to have any more shows on Thursday or Friday of this week. But if something happens big or if I feel like I need to get something off my chest, maybe we'll come back with an episode possibly on Friday. No promises there. We will definitely be back Monday morning for all of your Locked On Pistons need, just to talk about Summer League and the rest of the free agency period as it continues this weekend. So this is your host, Matt Shook, wishing you guys a happy 4th of July. And thanks for joining us here on Locked On Pistons, and have a great holiday, everyone.